Your national orienteering podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg bommet noe jævlig på bossen her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. Your national orienteering podcast.
To your national orienteering podcast. And I know we really start to feel the season is coming. I got today a media invitation to this year's TU Mila, and I'm already entered that I will come there as a media representative, of course for even national, but also in my civil work. I assume you, Eva, will also be a runner there, even if I assume you will do some running work for even national also.
Yeah, so TU Mila is one of my big targets this year, and now it's a bit less than 2 months to go. I really started to feel the heat, and I'm in almost in panic mode when it comes to start training properly.
And how do you think the marathon legs for Kibbutz will be in the TU Mila weekend?
Yeah, I think that's the big problem for us is that if he runs so good that he has to qualify, that he is actually qualifying for the Olympics, because then he will not run TU Mila, I suppose. So hopefully he run a very fast marathon, but doesn't kill his legs, and it's not fast enough to qualify for the Olympics. And then we will have a very, very strong Mathias Kubots on the last day for Tyrving.
Yeah, he was impressive all the season, last season. And yeah, if he doesn't demolish his legs, he will probably run a really good last leg there. If he is not heading towards Paris. But from TU Mila Paris and many good things, we will start with bad news from orienteering this time.
Yeah, and this is unique news in the orienteering world, because it's 30 years or something like that since the last doping case in orienteering that I can remember, and now it's been officially published on the website of the Latvian anti-doping agency that Artūrs Paulins has been banned for 3 years, testing positive for a prohibited substance called oximetolone, which is a anabolic steroid. Mostly in sports, it's been used by bodybuilders, and then there's doping cases with athletes from weightlifting. And I also found a case where it's been used by a British rugby player. Anabolic steroid, not necessarily the doping you would expect to have an endurance athlete being caught for. But yeah, this is a delicate case, I think. He tested positive already in July 2022, so it's been more than 1.5 years with this process going on. From the information on the Latvian website, the positive doping test was 2 weeks before the European Champs in Estonia 2022, and Artūrs Paulins was running those races in European Champs, and the start of the ban period, it's in September 2022, so I guess it took almost 2 months to get the test analyzed and to do the formalities and so on. With 3 years from September 2022, he will be banned until 2025. And Artūrs Paulins is a few years older than me. I think he's born 89, so he's turning 35 this year. And with 1.5 year, more ban from now, I have a hard time to imagine that he will come back to the orienteering sport at elite level age 36, 37, when his ban is ending.
Of course, we tried to reach out to Artūrs before we were recording here, and he was quite short in his comments. We can quote him all he had to say.
Yeah, so he said that we asked if he had a comment, and he said, no, I don't have. It's not the easiest time and period. It's understandable. I think the standard procedure for this substance is 4 years, and he is getting 3 years. So I think that's an indication that he has been cooperating with the anti-doping agency and been trying to find the reason why he's tested positive. So I mean, not all doping cases are cases where the athlete has purposely cheated. That's important to say, but you know, you never know. You never know the reason why until the athletes that are being caught are opening up, telling the whole story. Maybe that time will come in the future, but it's too early for Arctos now. And I mean, if he's done it by an accident or something like that, pollution or something like that, I mean, it must really, really suck to be in this situation. But yeah, the anti-doping rules are hard for a reason, and the athlete has to be responsible for what they're getting into the body. And yeah, it's obviously a hard time for him, it's also a hard time for the sport of orienteering, because I think it was in the World Champs in 1993 there was some doping case, but that's the only one I can remember.
That was the Norwegian runner Torunn Fossli. She had used the nose spray with the ephedrine. It was allowed to use during winter training.
But not in competition.
In competition. So she got the cold there in the World Champs, and she had it in her bag, and she used that in the relay there. And the Norwegian team lost their medals in that relay.
Yeah, but also what's worth noticing about this case, he tested positive in July 2022, and in the spring last year, so April 2023 or something like that, then it was starting to be quite heavy rumors about this. So it's been almost a year since most people got to know that he had tested positive to the case is finished and he's getting his ban. So yeah, that's it must have been a hard period for Paulins, of course, but also for the Latvian Orienteering Federation and the people involved in the national team and so on. Banned until September 2025. Then we will see if he comes back or not. That's only the future will tell.
Yeah, and from what the future will tell to what we have seen this weekend, there's been a lot of races in the whole of Europe, I would say. We can start with looking at what happened in Premio Valenciano in Valencia area in Spain.
Yeah, so there was the world ranking events, the last of the bigger weekends in Portugal and Spain for this winter, I think. Unfortunately, not with very, very good start fields. Spanish domination on home ground. It started with the middle distance where Maria Prieto won the women's class with a big margin, more than almost 5 minutes in the men's class. I think it was Olivier Blanc-Tranchard that won. Also him with a big, big margin, more than 3 minutes ahead of Giacomo Sagonel. Olivier Blanc-Tranchard is a good French man, but not in the national team level, but just below the national team. Solid runner, but not top international class. So yeah, he's a good orienteer, but he would not win a world ranking event with a big, big start field with a lot of top runners. And then it was also a sprint race, where another Spanish victory for on women's side, Nerea Gonzalez. And on the men's side, we saw Francesco Marani, the former junior world champion. Both of them were winning, not with a massive margin, but around 15 to 20 seconds. So that's solid enough in a sprint race. And then in the long distance, Maria Prieto won again on the women's side, and Olivier Blanc-Tranchard won again on the men's side. This time 3 minutes ahead of Mariani. So, yeah, impressive races by Olivier Blanc-Tranchard. He's been good some years, but I think this is better than what he's been doing the last few years. So yeah, hopefully a name we will see. Yeah, especially in the relays, perhaps Team Milan Jukola, and maybe if he keeps up this work and improve a little bit more, maybe he can get a spot in the French team for European Championship or the World Cup.
It's worth mentioning that this race in Valencia, it was really tough conditions with really cold weather and only a few degrees. So when you are in Spain, you expect to have a bit warmer, and then it's maybe feeling even colder. But yeah, I was talking a bit to Olivier Blanc-Conchard, and he said that his feeling was that the technical performances was really good, even though he was not feeling so good physically. And as you said, yeah, it was impressive.
Yeah, and I think Olivier is a technically very good orienteer. He's also one of the best players of this computer game, Catching Features, and he's been that for, I don't know, the last 15 years or so. So he has a quick mind.
From quick minds in Spain to difficult and challenging orienteering at the Lipizzia Open.
Yeah, and here we're into territory of really big races. In the men's class, it was around 150 runners. In the women's class, yeah, a bit less, but still quite a big field. We are recording this on Monday evening, so only 3 of the 5 stages of Lipizzia Open is done. But I think the weekend stages were the ones with the best competition, and then I think some people are dropping off after the weekend. But still, a lot of good runners here, both especially on the men's side, but also on the women's side. It started with the middle distance. We can do the women's, the 3 stages of the women first. Started with the middle distance with the Czech runner Barbara Chalupska winning ahead of another Czech runner, Barbara Smolkova, with the Swiss national team runner Katrin Müller in third place. A bit further down the result list, we have Alexandra Hornik in fifth place, and we know Hornik and her teammate Wisniewskawa from the Polish team have been running really well in the world ranking events previously this winter, and here they are a bit behind. So I think that's a confirmation of that the level here is pretty good. On the second day, there was a long distance where we saw the young Hungarian girls having a very, very good stage. Sorry, on the long distance, the second day, the Hungarian girls, Rita Maramarosi and Janka Mikes, both of them juniors. I think Maramarosi is her third year as a junior, so she still have a junior year next year. Janka Mikes is 1 year younger, so she's only 18. And between them, it was not much, under a minute. But then the gaps behind were really big. Silla Gardoni in third place was more than 3 minutes down. Katrin Müller in fourth place. And then we have to scroll down a bit to find the experienced Polish girls. Wisniewska and Hornik in 7th and 9th were 6-7 minutes down. So, I mean, this is worth to notice that these young Hungarian juniors, they are beating very, very good senior elite runners like Katrin Müller, Wisniewska and Hornik. They have solid results internationally at the World Cup level and so on. So it's very impressive that they are so far ahead.
Wisniewska and Hornik, they are not afraid of competing during winter time.
No, I mean, it feels like we've spoken about them running races at least every second weekend here since January. Running competitions is a good orienteering training, and you know, that's worth noticing that when we have spoken a lot of them, meaning they have been running a lot of competitions. And when you run a lot of competitions in the winter, you might not go full gas on every race. So that's worth noticing. But yeah, still impressive by the two young juniors, and they kept up the third day in the middle distance. This time, Janka Mikes was some seconds ahead of Maja Morosi, but still another 1-2 for them. This time, Barbara Smolkova, the Czech runner, was in third place. Again, more than 2 minutes behind the winner. So these two young girls are putting some impressive results down now at the beginning of the season with big margin down to good runners. That's really impressive.
And then in the men's class.
Yeah, in the men's class, the starting field was huge, partly because this is some kind of regional military competition. So a lot of nations are here with their military teams. I think that's happened more or less every year. I don't know what the deal is, but I mean, always in Lipice Open, there's good start field with a lot of these guys coming from the from the Polish military team, from the Czech military team, from and so on. And then, so in the middle distance, the first day, from the Austrian military team, Matthias Peter, he won ahead of two Czech runners, two young Czech runners, Willem Bednarik and Jan Stříček. And then with solid runners like Johan Ek Larsson, the Swedish guy, and Bartosz Pawlak, experienced Polish runners in fourth place and fifth place. We scroll down a little bit and we see runners like former junior world champion Zoltán Bojdoso down in sixth place, Polish Michal Olejnik, always good in these winter world ranking events, and he's down in ninth place. In the men's field, it was really close. It was 11 runners within 2 minutes, but still a very good victory for Matthias Peter.
And then it was a veteran victory in day number two there.
Yeah, so day number two, long distance, another close race. One minute 20 seconds between the top four. But the victory was with almost 1 minute. And here we saw the veteran Wojciech Kowalski. I think he's 42 this year. He's almost as old as you are. But he's still running at a very high level. And he won ahead of his teammate Michal Olejnik with Aron Baku, the experienced Hungarian guy, and shared third place with the winner of the first day, Matthias Peter.
Were you running for Tyrving in... No, you were not running for Tyrving in 2015 when there was this sprint finish in Tiumila.
No, that was way before my Tyrving time.
Yeah, but then he ran the last leg for Tyrving, I think.
Yes, and then...
And they were in the pack fighting for the victory, but he had to let the real leaders go there. But he is so... thin guy. I was really worried about him running just in a short nylon Tyrving suit there. And he was coming to the finish in the morning there. I was freezing looking at him, I remember.
Yeah, it was brutal conditions there in the morning of that Tiumila. I think it was a bit rain in the air. The forest was wet. But it was still, and it was cold, but it was still plus degrees. So in a way, you had the feeling in the arena that it was warm. So I think a lot of people in the morning went out without the thermo. And that was not necessarily a good choice.
I had to say to the coach, Arne Tiltnes, to put the jacket on that guy.
It's good to see Wojciech in great form. He will be a key player for the Tyrving team this year, even if he's 42 years old and he's still running so fast and he's training professionally and living professionally. So it's good to see that he's having a good start of the season.
But there was a comeback for another guy, the third stage here.
Yeah, and in the second stage, we had a really, really old winner. In the third stage, we had a very, very young winner. And with a very, very dominant performance, because Márton Sobot from Hungary, he is a junior world champion in the sprint relay from last summer. And when he did that, he was only the first year elite runner. First year junior runner. So he's 18 this year. And he was winning with more than 2 minutes ahead of Johan Ek Larsson in second place, ahead of Algirdas Barkevicius in third place, and with Kowalski in fourth place. So this is really good runners that the junior is beating with a big margin. So very impressive by Márton Sobot, obviously inspired by his young Hungarian teammates that they were dominating the women's class. He didn't want to be any worse, so he won the third stage with a great race here. Very impressive. And the difference between Sobot and Kowalski is 24 years. And Kowalski, he ran two or three world championship before Chobot was born. And here they are winning two stages after each other. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a really nice fun fact to get in this podcast. But from Lipizia Open, we can travel to Holland in Sweden, and where they've been running three races this weekend. A night on Friday, middle distance on Saturday, and yeah, we can call it a long, but a short long distance on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, that's sometimes the races in Sweden is pretty short for the elite runners in these smaller competitions. You often see middle distance races that are winning time of 23, 24, 25 minutes or something like that. And long distance races sometimes don't even go over 60 minutes. But still, for those who ran all the three races, it's a tough weekend because the long distance race was pretty long with winning times over 60 minutes. On the women's side, it was a very, very small field, only seven runners. And Erika Kjellvik Löfven from IFK Göteborg won with more than 15 minutes. So not that very competitive. I think, because Team Ila is now with night legs for the women as well, I think it was a lot of people that were expecting these kind of races, having more female runners. So, for example, at the Sverigepremiere and the last weekend, it's a night race there as well. Here's a night race on Friday and then two other races. But yeah, it seems like the depth in the women's field in the EDS night competition are still pretty small. So I don't think we can read too much out of the night race on the women's side, but a bit more on the men's side, perhaps, where we saw that Oscar Edvardsson, the Norwegian middle distance champion from last year, he won ahead of very experienced Vetle Rudbråten from IFK Göteborg, Ludvig Ek and Filip Åstensson, both of them also from IFK Göteborg, in third and fourth place. And this is a very interesting result for me when it comes to Team Ila and maybe even Jukola, to see Vetle Rudbråten back in a good form. Back in the days when IFK Göteborg were dominating Team Ila and Jukola, he was, together with Johan Högstrand, maybe the two most important runners in the team. It was often that Johan Högstrand, he created the gap, and then Vetle Rudbråten kept it running alone in the lead during the night. And then in the last few years, he's not been that good, and he's not performing at the same level anymore. But this seems to be a good sign that he should be a serious contender for a spot in the Göteborg team. And also this year at the Team Ila.
Yeah, we've seen there three Göteborg runners from positions 2 to 4 in this race. That looks like they have been doing their night training there in the Västkusten of Sweden.
Yeah, definitely.
And then to the middle distance on Saturday, I think here the start field was really big in the men's class, but not so big in the women's class. But of course, more competitive than in the night on Friday.
Yeah, and I mean, there's good runners here. Elin Monson took a quite clear victory, no surprise. She was winning 1.5 minutes ahead of Erika Oksson, with Elsa Sonesson in third place. And then we see solid runners like Emma Ling in fourth place, and runners with international experience and Annika Simonsen and Tilde Backlund in fifth place and sixth place. So I think this is a good field. Of course, most of the national team is missing, but yeah, Monson she's a very, very good runner. Halmstad is also her home terrain, so you would suppose that she's really, really good in this type of terrain. And yeah, winning with 1.5 minutes on a 26-minute middle distance, that's ahead of solid runners, that's a good start of the season for her.
Yeah, and in the men's class, we can say that it was a good start of the senior career for the winner.
Yeah, the Danish Oscar David Broman Jensen, medalist from the World Champs J-Walk last year, he won this race, a race that was extremely close. It was seven runners within 1 minute. Ludvig Ek from IFK Göteborg in second place, and Erik Herne in third place from UK Ravin. And then you have guys like Filip Åstensson, Oscar Edvardsson, and a junior actually with a strong sixth place in young Svante Selin, one of the guys we should be watching out for J-Walk possibly in the summer. A very, very promising run that, but yeah, here he got beaten by the elite runners. But yeah, as you said, great start of the senior career for Oscar Jensen. He's a good runner.
Yeah, he had a comment. It was focused this time was, of course, to on the technique because it was the first race of the season, and he was the plan was to do a secure orienteering. Yeah, and the plan was. The plan from start was to take it a bit easy to get into the map, but when he saw the first legs on the course, he changed the tactique because it was so easy orienteering there, so he couldn't be calm, so he had to run as fast as possible from the start, but it was a really good race. He only lost 10 seconds on one control. Otherwise, it was a clean race, as he said. And he said he has a good winter with a lot of good training.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that he is one of the guys that we were speculating in maybe going to this new Danish club, the new elite team in Farum Tisvilde, as he had been running for them at Jukola a couple of years ago. But he's running for Pankrisanstad here this weekend, and that means that we have no confirmation that he's not going to Farum Tisvilde, at least for this season.
No, he says he's really motivated to the big goals of this season. And then I asked him what his big goal this season is, and that's to compete for Denmark in European champs and world champs.
Yeah, and I think
to catch a lots of experience in the senior class.
Yeah, and I mean, even if he's young, his first year elite class, I think there is not a lot of spots in the Danish team that are cemented, especially for European champs where you have more guys running. For world champs, it's only three, so it might be harder there. But for European champs, I mean, he should have a really, really good chance of qualifying there.
Yeah, and we can jump from Oscar's good running on Saturday in the middle to the long distance on Sunday.
Yeah, so the short long distance. No surprise, Elin Monson takes her second victory in 2 days. Annika Simonsen in second place is 3.5 minutes down. And then we have Nelly Karlsson, one of the two Karlsson twins that is running for Västervik in third place, but almost 5 minutes down. So yeah, here it was significant gaps, but that's also no surprise because Elin Monson should be at a higher level than the other girls here. On the men's side, again, closer. But yeah, Gustav Runefors, a Swede that have been running really well this start of the season. He's winning another race here, beating Filip Ossason with almost a minute. Ludvig Ek with another podium in third place. So he had a good weekend as well. And then, yeah, we scroll down a bit to see, for example, Oscar Edvardsson, the Norwegian champion, in sixth place, and Vetle Rugbråten in seventh place, but they are 4 or 5 minutes down. So, yeah, another confirmation that Gustav Runefors, he's really good this year.
Yeah, any comments that I don't know if you have seen his Strava comments, but there is not so satisfied. So he tells that, it's maybe not necessary to be such a miss, not so satisfied with the race, but it didn't feel as good as last weekend when he was running down in Skåne. But the most fun is to see what IFK Göteborg thinks now when two of their really good Team Miller runners are not doing so well. And as we mentioned, Vetle Rudbråten is running well. So then he has a smiley on his comment here. So definitely the mind games about Team Miller is going on.
Who did he mean didn't run well?
I think he's meaning that in the night race there when Vettle is beating them.
Yeah. But I think, you know, it's a long way, and I think from this weekend it looks pretty good for IF Göteborg. Yeah, we see Vettle Rybråten back in decent form. Ludvig Ek has a good weekend with 3 times on the podium. I think Filip Ossason is also running at a decent level here, so I wouldn't be too stressed if I was the selection committee for IF Göteborg.
No need to stress before Easter, at least. It's a long way, 2 months. But one girl who has had a long career, at least I think it's finished. She was showing, even though good shape in Denmark, in Nordjysk, 2 days.
Yeah, I think it's always hard to read too much out of these races when the starting fields are not so big and you have a lot of runners that you don't really know how good they really are. But yeah, Ida Bobak, the world champion from the long distance back in 2015. She won the long distance at Nordjysk with quite a big margin, almost 3 minutes ahead of Synnøve Palmqvist, formerly Synnøve Bråten, a Norwegian girl, been living in Stockholm for many years. She has some experience from the Norwegian national team, but last year she was injured all the time, so it's good to see her back running. But it's hard to know how much she's been able to train this winter and so on. But yeah, it's a good for her to just be back on the start line running. In third place, Kaja Vincent Nordhagen. She has a lot of experience from the Norwegian team, running World Cups and so on. A bit more than 3 minutes down. Not the best start of the season for her, because I mean she's a girl that should be running World Cup or European champs for Norway this year, and then I think she should be closer to and preferably beating Ida Bobak. But I mean, it's early season. It's been a long winter in Oslo with a lot of snow, so probably not that good conditions for orienteering training, and then you might need a couple of races and a couple of weeks with proper training in the forest before you can perform at the top level again. But yeah, and then further down between these three, it was really, really big margin. So it was only three runners that were at a high level. In the men's class, Vegard Kittilsen took the victory. Another guy from IFK Göteborg showing solid form this year. Same situation here as in women's class, not the best start field. But yeah, triple Norwegian in the top, Vegard Kittilsen. And then Marius Aurebekk from NTNU and Vegard Danielsen from Kristiansand. The world champion from the Junior World Championship in Denmark 2010. In the relay he was the world champion, of course. Individually he only got a bronze medal. Only. I wish I had been winning only a bronze medal at the JWOC sometime, but yeah.
Yeah, he won a bronze medal in the sprint, and I was running in Kristiansand at that time, and then we saw Vega winning bronze in the sprint. We thought it would be a really good champs when he was going into the forest, but he didn't manage the forest except of the relay when he had a last leg in the winning team there.
Yeah, now 14 years later, he's still running pretty well in Denmark. And then we can jump to the middle distance. Women's side, we had a precise repeat of the day before. Ida Bobak winning ahead of Synnøve Palmqvist and Kaja Vincent Snorre in third place. Gaps, of course, a bit smaller now when it was a middle distance. But yeah, still pretty clear with the winning margin of over 1 minute. So yeah, the old champion is still at a decent level here.
Ida Bobak, she's one of the coaches in the Danish national team these days, isn't that right?
It feels like half of Denmark's former elite runners are involved in the national team nowadays, but yeah, she's one of them. And yeah, you know, if she's been on training camp with the Danish national team, I mean, then you have to run with the athletes. So I mean, that's proper good training.
And the men's class there, it was a new guy in town.
Yeah, so in the men's class, on the long distance, it was three Norwegians in front. In the middle distance, it was three Danish runners. Andreas Bock-Bjørnsen, new guy in Tyrving this year. Very fast runner, 8:01 on 3,000 meter this winter. He took the victory here, showing that he can also run in the forest. 45 seconds ahead of Søren Schwartz, the husband of Ida Bobak. And then Magnus Devet, another fast guy in third place, a bit more than a minute down. And then we had yesterday's winner, Vegard Kittilsen, in fourth place. So yeah, the Danes, they stroke back in the middle distance.
And when we mention the weather in Spain, we should also mention the weather in Denmark here. It was just above zero degrees and quite windy. So there was not any reason to stay a lot more on the arena than necessary. You know that a friend of mine told when he was retiring or entering, he said that the best thing about retiring is that it's no need to go to Denmark in March anymore.
Well, I mean, yeah, Norway in March can be quite brutal as well. But yeah, it's always when you travel south, you think it's going to be warm, and then you're always disappointed. And 3 degrees in south is always feeling worse than 3 degrees at home.
A bit farther south, it was flat terrain. It was fast running, and it was Belgium champs in middle distance this weekend.
Yeah, probably the first European country that has a national championship this orienteering season. On the men's side, Yannick Michels took a big victory. I mean, that's no surprise when he's running in Belgium. He's always the big favorite, also in the forest. He won with more than 3 minutes out of Vare de Kuyper, with Matthias Blaes in third place, 4 minutes down. So it's good to, for me, it's good to see it now. Matthias Blaes, okay, 4 minutes behind Yannick Michels. We are running a race against each other next weekend. So now I know I can measure against him. So that's interesting. In the women's side, Tilde de Smul won a bit more than a minute ahead of Grete Oyen and Marin Cillian. Also, yeah, a favorite victory there on the women's side.
And you told that there was the first national champs in Europe. I think Denmark will have a couple of weeks. They will also have national champs. But one guy who preferred to run international champs is the guest in this week's podcast, Kasper Fossar from Norway, the last winner of the long distance world champs both in Czech Republic and in Switzerland, and before that he was a silver medalist. But he is not only a long distance runner, this guy Ivo.
No, he's also the reigning world champion in the individual sprint. He has won medals in European champs in both the individual sprint and the knockout sprint, winning World Cup victories in sprint as well, and obviously one of the big favorites for this upcoming Sprint World Championship this summer.
Yeah, and he has twisted his training a bit to reach his goal in Scotland. I think we all should listen a bit to what he has to tell about his training towards the sprint distances in Scotland. Even National Orienteering Podcast has reached down to France, actually, where we are talking with Kasper Fossar. How are you there in France, Kasper?
Yeah, thanks. I'm doing well. Been here for just over 5 weeks now, and things have run quite smoothly. No problems, no injuries or sickness, so nothing to complain about.
Yeah, I told you were in France, but it's also in high altitude. What's your philosophy about that? You've been there, yeah, a couple of weeks. Five and a half is the total, I think.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, we're up at 1,800 meters in Font-Romeu, excuse the pronunciation. So it's Yeah, it's altitude training is something I did a bit before WUK last year, and now I'm like trying to test it a bit more for real with some longer, more structured training camps. So yeah, it's a bit to see if it's something I want to use the next years, and feel like it's good to figure this stuff out quite early in my career if it's something I want to use moving forward. And so far, it's been quite a good experience.
Yeah, and it was quite successful before WUK last year also. I think if we look back at the last season, yeah, you had a good opening, and you also got a success in the World Champs. And yeah, in total, how are you satisfied with the last season?
Yeah, I would say I'm quite satisfied, absolutely. Yeah, as you said, especially with the beginning of the season, with World Cup in Østfold and WUK long distance went extremely well. But yeah, I feel like mostly I got almost everything out of my my body that season. Like I had this pretty bad groin injury that really made it difficult to do running. But I managed to get in shape for the World Cups and most importantly WUK, and winning the gold medal there was the goal of the season. So then the season overall also has to be satisfied with that.
But a winner like you, after two overall victories in the World Cup in a row, when you're number two last year, isn't that something that makes you want to strike back this season?
Yeah, absolutely. I like World Champs comes first, of course, but behind World Champs, I would say that overall World Cup is my highest goal. So yeah, hope to take the throne back from Kibbors next year. That would be great. If I end my career with several overall World Cup wins, then that would be quite big, together with the WUK medals. That says something about how successful you've been as an orienteer. So definitely something that's important to me.
Yeah, and the last years you have been very successful, even if you have, as you mentioned, groin troubles. But after you were knocked out in the knockout sprint in European Champs, has it been the groin been good and no injuries and anything in the winter training?
Yeah, so the groin issues taken a really, really long time to get. I still have to take a bit care of it now and then, but. But after European Champs, I was finally able to increase my running again. So since then, things have been going rather smoothly. I've still held running volume down quite a bit, especially like the easier sessions, and done quite a bit of alternative training in addition. I've had amazing continuity since European Champs, so I feel like I'm on track for the season.
Then I have two questions. Maybe you can answer that. Alternative training. What are you doing then? And the continuity will that makes you even stronger this year than ever?
Yeah, so I'm mostly doing spinning. And also some uphill walking, Stairmaster or up on the treadmill or outdoors if possible. Those are the two things that work best for the groin. So that's been, also aqua jogging has worked well, but it's been hard to get access to pools and stuff. So Yeah, mostly spinning and uphill walking. I've now that the groin is or the groin problems are starting to disappear, I might start trying the cross trainer as well. And yeah, but hopefully I'll be running enough this spring that I won't have to do a lot of hours of alternate training. Maybe a couple like 2-3 sessions a week during the spring
to keep it under control. But then last part of the question, when there's such good continuity in the training, will you be better than ever now this season?
Yeah, I think so. I really think so. I can't say that I've had like huge I haven't gotten to a new level or anything like right now, but I think that as I during the next months increase my amount of flat running, especially interval sessions, and also decrease the amount of alternative training, then I think I'll get a boost from that. So yeah, we'll see. I'm planning to do a 3,000 meter test when I get back home from altitude, and maybe I'll have a place for one more in the spring. And if I could get a time that's well under 8 minutes, then I know that I've taken a big step physically for sprint orienteering.
Yeah, because you're aiming for the sprints now in the first part of the season, as I understand.
Yeah, definitely. So I would say so far it's been pretty 50-50, focus on sprint and forest. But now as we approach the last months before World Champs, then it will gradually be more and more sprint focus. So yeah, I won't be doing many forest sessions the last couple months before World Champs.
We saw a really good performance of you in late January in Scotland in a sprint there. Is that a opener for your competitors? Is that the kind of level you're at right now?
Yeah, those races were definitely great. I don't think anyone will get super surprised about those results, but it was definitely good technical performances. But yeah, I hope to improve on that as well. I still feel like I have a lot of margin to go on, especially physically in sprint orienteering. So yeah, we'll see how I progress during the next months. I'm excited.
Yeah, and what's the plans now for the next weeks, and when will we see you in the competition shoes first time this spring?
Yeah, so I guess I'm running a relay. I'm not sure about the name actually, but there's a relay planned for Tio Mila camp in the end of this month with IFCO. But the first important race will be Tio Mila. So I'm not racing much this spring. It's hard to get it to, or it's hard to do that when you do an extensive altitude program. I still have two more camps to go before WOC. So yeah, it will be Tio Mila first big competition. Then we have NM Sprint the weekend after. That will maybe be the first time in a competition where I get to show off my sprint skills, and then it's all eyes on the World Cup rounds in Switzerland and Italy.
And then it's a new altitude camp.
Yeah, that's right. We're planning on going to Livigno and St. Moritz the last period before WOC.
I understand, and then you will not compete in between the World Cup and and the world champs, or maybe the Jukola relay or something.
Yeah, you'll definitely see me at Jukola. So we take a break from altitude to go to Finland. Outside of that, there won't be, or outside of the big relays, there won't be any forest races, I guess. Maybe Spartacus Cup in Hungary in the beginning of April.
Yeah, that could be interesting. Then we are into a new topic. So you will, of course, also have a focus on the Europeans. You will switch after the World Champs.
Yeah.
For Forest.
Yeah, after World Champs, I'm actually signed up for Uhringen for the first time in very many years. And then after Uhringen, I go straight to Hungary for... I guess it will be about 2 weeks before European champs. So that, together with a camp in April, with the Spartacus Cup races, that will be my preparation. It's a bit of extra preparations for EOC because it is also WOC in Hungary in 3 years, I guess. So, it's worth it to prepare a bit extra.
Yeah, but you think you will manage to be also in the shape and in prepared enough to win also in Europeans?
Yeah, definitely. I like the last year has been, or with my groin injury, I've had to run a lot of uphill running and a lot of really steep uphill running. So I'm, even if I take some break from that the last months before WOC, I'll still be, I'll still have my biggest strength in the steep uphills, and that will suit me well for European champs. So I think physically, definitely, I'll be prepared for European champs. But and technically, I'm sure that there's enough time between WOC and European champs to recover mentally and get ready and excited for new races. That's it's always tricky after World Champs to mentally be where you should be for the next races. It's a bit of a tricky period those weeks after WOC.
Yeah, post WOC depression. That could be tough because as you're telling now, you have the plan. It's quite tight plan you have set up here with Uhringen and also the camps there. It's a challenge mentally. Do you dare to take that challenge?
Yeah, definitely.
I would say Uhringen will not be a big focus. It'll be more like. I'll take it as it comes. If I'm not ready to do my best there, then it will be what it is. But I'm mostly there the fun of racing Uhringen again, and it would be fun. It would be nice to get overall Uhringen win on my list. So of course, being on training camps and preparing for races, that's mostly my life or everyday life. So it's not like those pre-camps are taking any energy. I would say that's more like vacation, going on those camps.
Yeah, I understand. But there is no vacation in the World Champs. And now you're saying that you're... preparing really tough for the sprint, and then we always like to hear some numbers, not only words. So how many medals and gold medals will you be satisfied with after three final races in Scotland?
Yeah, I always it's always hard to use the relay as a goal there, because it's not up to me only, but if I get one individual goal, then I'll be very satisfied with WOC. Absolutely, it's it's tough enough to manage the to manage that. I think that two goals is two individual goals, like winning both the sprint and the knockout, that's quite unrealistic. But it's not like I'm gonna go all in for the individual sprint or something like that. I'll do my best on both races, and I'm quite motivated to try to improve on the knockout. It's it hasn't been a bad discipline for me in any way, but I mostly do good races when I run international road knockouts, but I still haven't managed to get a victory there. So that's a bit of it motivates me to get better there and try to do something about the flying Swiss runner Matthias Kibors in the knockout.
Yeah, that's the big challenge. So to be objective, you were telling one gold medal and the final in the knockout sprint, and then everything can happen in the final.
Yeah, that would be a good way to say it. I think if I win the individual sprint, I'll be, or either the individual or knockout, I will be extremely happy either way, and then it will be a success no matter what happens in the other races. But I don't set any limits. I think I'll be able to compete for the gold medals in all the disciplines.
Yeah, we have seen you've been able to do that the past years, Kasper, and we never doubt on your capacity. So it will be exciting to see how it works out. And it's been really nice to talk to you. Thanks for letting us into some of your thoughts and your training so far.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
The last part to go.
Kasper Fossa there, telling a bit about his preparations towards 2024 season. What's the bullet point here for you?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that he's putting a lot of effort into the altitude training. He said that in the interview that he had some experience from last year where he spent time in altitude before the World Championship in Switzerland. But that's now he's taking it a step further. I mean, last year it was natural to prepare in altitude for the Swiss World Champs because the acclimatization, especially for the long distance, the first part was pretty high up. And also, you know, that's where the most relevant terrains were. So it made sense from a technical point of view as well. But this year he's going all in for a quite intense altitude program. Now he's just finished a couple of weeks in Fontrumeau, heading down to, I think he went down yesterday or something like that, to southeast part of France, northeast part of Italy, for a sprint camp with the Norwegian team after a couple of weeks in Fontrumeau. And then he's also heading back in, up to the altitude not a long time. I think he mentioned he will run some races in Skåne. That's the, I assume he's meaning the first race of the Swedish Relay League. And then he will run some races in Hungary, training camp there, and then go back to altitude before Tuomela, and then another altitude camp before the World Champs. So having three long altitude camps, that's something new for him, and it will be interesting to see how it turns out. I mean, he has good experience so far, and a lot of people have a lot of good experience with altitude training, but there's also the risk that you can push your body too much at altitude because you recover a bit slower there. But yeah, I mean, Kasper Fosse, even if he's young, he is very experienced already, so I'm not too worried that he will overdo it.
And he dropped some times on 3000 meter also, so I will remember him on that one if he will reach. Didn't he mention under 8 minutes?
Yeah, and I think he's been trying. He's been running three or four times, 3000 meters between 8:06 and 8:12 or something like that. So then, of course, under 8 minutes is not that far away. And yeah, of course, for those of our listeners that are following him on Strava, and now you hear him talking about his consistency in the last month since European champs. I mean, it's looking very, very good. Often he has been struggling with injuries in this part of the winter training, and now, yeah, I mean, he still have some issues hanging back from the groin problems from last year, but it looks like it's not hindering him too much, and he's training at a very, very stable level. And with this consistency over several months, and then with the added altitude boost, there should be possibilities for him to improve significantly and also drop down below 8 minutes.
But before he drops down under 8 minutes, it will be orienteering races this coming week. Lepicchio Open will finish with the two last stages there. And otherwise, we have some racing in both Switzerland and Sweden.
Yeah, so I think the biggest event that's coming up this week is the first national event in Switzerland, a middle distance world ranking event. Mainly, the main attraction will be Simone Abishol, the long distance world champion. She's coming down from the altitude with Kasper Fosser in Fontrume, several weeks there with good altitude training, and now we will see her race at home ground in Switzerland. The first proper orienteering race of the year for her. I expect her to totally dominate and more or less win every leg, but we will see. It's a middle distance race and the competition is decent. I mean, Miri Tran Ødum will be there, the Danish runner. She's studying for half a year now in Lausanne, in Switzerland, so she will take part now in a local race. Then there's of course a lot of girls from the Swiss team, but not Natalia Gemple is not there, but a lot of girls from the B team and from the under 25 team. And then also some interesting retirement starts. We see both Elena Hovalt-Ros and Sabine Hausvirt on the start list. I expect Simone Abishol to win with a big margin. So maybe we should take a bet over or under 3 minutes victory margin. What do you think?
I think under 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes.
Okay, then I'm going over, and then we will see who is correct.
And will you put the money on her brother in the men's class, or is there?
Yeah, in the men's class, the big names are missing. There is, of course, Noah Kibbutz. He is busy with preparing for Paris Marathon, the 7th of April. There is no Hubmann. There's a lot of guys from the B team and the under 25 team from Switzerland. Fabian Ebersold, as you mentioned, is probably the biggest favorite, but he is he's always a bit unstable, but he's been training really well this winter, and he's one of the guys I'm expecting to step up a bit internationally this year. He's been winning the World Student Champs. He's been winning Euromeeting. Both competitions are, of course, good competitions, and it's always good to do well in international races. But I mean, we are waiting for him to step up on the real stage, the World Cup, maybe the World Championship, the European Championship, and get some good results there. And yeah, this race is a good opportunity for him to start the season with a good result here. But he will face some tough competitions. Peter Ecker, one of the guys that is very, very interesting. He was almost in the top 10 at the World Cup in Czech Republic last year. So he's a good runner, even if he's been struggling a bit with injury this year. Tino Polsini, Timo Suter, both of them can run really well middle distance races in this kind of terrain. And then there's also some foreign guys. Quentin André from France and Andreas Sølberg from Norway, and I will also make my season debut, so maybe we should make a bet there as well, over or under 5 minutes behind the winner.
I think you've got so much like Ida Bubak, you've got so much training and being a coach that it will be under under 5 minutes behind.
I think I will go over here. Yeah, the course is 6 kilometer, and I will be very happy if I'm below 1 minute per kilometer behind. So if I'm 6 minutes or less behind, I will take that as a decent start of the season. But yeah, it will be my first race since November last year. So I'm so excited to be back in the forest with the map. That would be cool.
Yeah, and it will also be exciting to see how they're doing in Göteborg the coming weekend. It will be quite interesting. Stadtbild also there with locals and also some Finnish runners showing up there.
Yeah, very, very good Stadtbilds in Göteborgs premieren. In the men's class, it's 75 guys in the middle distance. In the women's class, it's almost 60. And then there's a bit less in the long distance the following day. A lot of guys that will have been doing good races already this year. And a lot of guys that will be making more or less their season debut. Gustav Grunefors is obviously one of the favorites after his strong spring season. Very interesting to see if Oscar David Bromjan Jensen can continue his winning track. We have a very interesting start in Anton Kukka coming over from Finland. We talked a lot about Vetlerud Broten, and now his compatriot from the from the legendary IFK teams, Johan Högstrand, is also at the start line. He's in a similar situation as Vetle. Extremely good if you jump 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years back in time. But then not as good the last few years. And now it will be interesting to see where he stands 2 months before Tiomila, if he can be closer to his old level, or if what we've seen the last few years is his new level. And then also a very interesting start from the Norwegian junior Alfred Bjørnerød, running in the elite class, making his debut for OK Tisaren. It seems like he's been training well this winter, and it will be interesting to see how he can match up against a strong field of elite runners.
Yeah, and it will be a strong field also in the women's class here.
Absolutely. We saw Annika Simonsen running at a decent level in Halmstad. She will be running here as well. We have Enni Jalava. Interesting start from Finland. Anna Näri also. Interesting start from Finland. Eva Ørnhagen Jørgensen, the young Danish girl. She ran pretty well at POM, for example. And then we have a retirement runner also here in Lina Strand, home ground in Göteborg. I think she will beat a lot of young, ambitious runners. But we will see if she can beat everyone. And then also another interesting start from a junior, Alma Svennerud. Will be interesting to see what she's doing now in this first real competition of the year, competing in a strong field of elite runners.
And then we are traveling to your old hometown, Södertälje.
Your old hometown too.
Yeah.
So both of us have been organizing Kringeltreffen, and now it's the season start of the East Coast with a good starting field. Södertälje just outside of Stockholm. On the women's side, it's a bit more than 40 runners. Not the best names here, but some really, really good runners are here. Young Tilde Backlund, experienced Lithuanian runner Auskini Kutkaite, the Portuguese runner Filipa Rodriguez, and also a couple of good Ukrainians from Sevedal. So quite an open race, still at the runners at decent level. So it'll be interesting to see who shows good form here in the season start. I mean, a lot of these races where you have decent start field, but not the national team runners there. It's very interesting because a lot of these runners will be key players for the big teams in Tiomila, for example. And even if they are irrelevant for the World Cup and so on, they are still very, very relevant for Tiomila and also Jukola. And therefore, it's good to see the early signs of form here. On the men's side, a couple of guys with international experience. The former junior world champion Basil Baseri is running. Rudolf Sernis, the best Latvian runner the last few years, is there. Jonas Gustafsson from Kåre, and also the Norwegian night champ from last year, Nils Christian Hellerud, is interesting to see. But maybe the biggest favorite has to be Erik Herne. Not performing top previously weekends, but he's been racing and got getting into the racing rhythm. So maybe he's a few steps ahead of some of the other guys taking part here and running more or less the first race of the season.
Yeah, but at least we can definitely say we are into the racing season. So we will call the next episode the racing season start now or something like that.
Yeah, I think the racing season has started properly. I mean, now you have races everywhere, more or less every weekend. So you will have a lot of result lists to scan through and see who is showing good form. Team Mila is getting closer. World Cup selection is getting closer for the top nations and so on. So there will be a lot of interesting races to talk about in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and to get it all, you need to listen to Even National Orienteering Podcast. Thank you for being with us today.
Bye-bye.
Mannen dro ut og løp orientering med kart og kompass og med rektige sko. Sikta sågar etter beste notering, for kroppen var lett og god.
Even National Orienteering Podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg har møtt noe jævlig på posten her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. Even National Orienteering Podcast.